Okay, back to those leaked DNC emails now. Thousands of emails from Democratic Party officials were leaked over the weekend, and they did not make the DNC look good. In fact, as a result, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chair of the DNC, has announced that she's stepping down. The FBI says it's opening an investigation into the leak. Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchiera is a staff writer for Motherboard, that is Vice's tech and culture site, and he has been investigating this hack for months already. Lorenzo, take us back to when you started looking into this hack.
Yeah, essentially what we know so far is that at some point in the last few months, at least two attackers breached into the DNC networks. And according to the security company who first investigated these attacks, these two attackers have links to the Russian government, and they might be the military and the civilian intelligence service.
Yeah, that's the other big part of this headline, that it wasn't just the DNC that was hacked, but there is suspicion that Russian hackers were involved in this. What evidence have you found?
So the evidence is, like, we don't have a smoking gun. Nobody really has a smoking gun, at least. But everything that's come out so far points to Russia. The first piece of evidence is what CrowdStrike, the security company that's investigated this, found. They found that the attackers used the malware that's been previously used by Russia. Also, after CrowdStrike accused Russia, a hacker named Guccifer2 said, well, this is not true. It was actually me, a lone hacker. I've done this. But when this hacker made this claim, he actually revealed himself to be most likely a Russian agent as well. In his first message, there was, like, he used emoticons that are typical of Russian speakers. The documents that he leaked had some Russian metadata.
I gather you've actually had a chat with Guccifer2O on Twitter. Did that happen? And what did you talk about? What did you learn?
Yeah, as soon as Guccifer2 came up online and posted all these documents, he also created a Twitter account to spread the information. And so I reached out to him and I started talking to him. Initially, he was pretty friendly. You know, he made the claim that he was Romanian, but I just thought, let's ask him something in Romanian. And I used Google Translate. It took him a few minutes to respond. Afterwards, when I showed this to Romanian speakers, they were like, okay, this is definitely not Romanian. And, you know, that doesn't mean that he's Russian, but, like, this just means, you know, it's just another breadcrumb.
You're basically saying, though, that this Guccifer2 had nothing to do with this hack.
No, I think what I believe and what a lot of experts believe is that Guccifer2 is just a made-up persona from the actual hackers, who might be Russian spies, actually.
Hillary Clinton's campaign manager said Russian hackers have been releasing these emails in order to help Donald Trump win the election. Why do you think Russians might have that as a goal?
I don't totally agree with the theory that this might be to help Donald Trump, but it's definitely clear that someone is trying to make a big splash and influence the elections by leaking documents. And that's really the big story here. You know, like, espionage campaigns and hacking campaigns to steal information are nothing new. And, you know, we can assume that the U.S. does them too. But the new thing here is the leaking of the documents and the mounting of a sort of a PR campaign with, you know, Twitter accounts, blog posts, and trying to, like, influence the elections.
But if you don't totally agree with Clinton's campaign manager that this has been done to have Donald Trump win the election, what could it be about then?
Well, no one is really sure, but it could be just that they are trying to confuse, that they're trying to spread lies. You know, everything is very confusing. And I think, you know, in a way, if this is really Russia, they've won, at least for now, at their game of deceiving us and confusing us.
Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchiera there. He's a staff writer with Motherboard, that's Vice's tech and culture site. I've got Moscow-based reporter Charles Maines with me now. So how are Russians reacting to the hack of the DNC?
Well, it's more of a curiosity here that's sort of discussed online in terms of the actual official authorities. They're, of course, not commenting on that. I don't think that's surprising when Russia's been implicated in the past in any kind of electronic eavesdropping or hacking cyber warfare, which we've seen several examples of in the past. One person we did hear from today actually was Edward Snowden, who just noted that if Russia hacked the DNC, they should be condemned for it. But thus far, the FBI had presented no evidence.
Right. I mean, there's now been this reemergence of the notion of a bromance between Putin and Trump. Didn't Vladimir Putin clear up the fact that he never actually complimented Donald Trump?
Well, he called him a yarkichilik, which means sort of a colorful character, a colorful person.
Is that a compliment? You know,
well, you know, it means that he's a guy that you take notice of, but not a lot more than that necessarily. And I think Trump sort of ran with this as a very sort of genuine compliment. Apparently, you know, Trump has actually had quite a fascination with Russia over the years, at least on a sort of superficial level. He was here in Moscow to hold the Miss Universe competition, made quite a bit of money off of that, in fact, using kind of Russian sponsors to pony up the money. He's repeatedly tried to open businesses here, a Trump Tower for Moscow. It's never quite worked out for him, but he seems to always be pursuing that as well.
Aside from all that, has anyone in Moscow explained to you why Russia would want Donald Trump to win the election?
It's actually quite obvious. It's the fact that if you look at Mr. Trump's statements about NATO, particularly support to NATO allies, from the Russian side, at least from the Kremlin political side, they're very against NATO expansion. They're interested in encouraging NATO's disintegration in whatever means they can. And so just in the same way that the Russians maybe don't overtly promote Brexit, there was sort of a sense of celebration that splintering in the Western alliance was a good thing for Russia. And I think in that same way, there's a sense that if Mr. Trump did come to the White House, that this sort of splintering of the NATO allies would be a good thing for Russia as well.
Yeah, so it's less about some notion of bromance than really practical stuff like the future of NATO.
Yeah, straight out geopolitics, exactly.
How avidly are Russians following the U.S. election? And even in official circles, how much do they really understand the nuances of the American political process?
I think they're certainly familiar with the characters and some of the politicians that have gone through this motion. I mean, even Bernie Sanders had spent quite a bit of time in Yaroslavl through the sister city program that Burlington, Vermont had. And there's been some good reporting on, you know, and pictures surfacing online of Mr. Sanders in the Russian sauna in a banya here and drinking beer with locals and things like that. So, you know, I think Sanders was a bit of a curiosity to them. Trump, of course, has been the global curiosity for the circus act that he seems to combine politics and entertainment in a unique way. And in a lot of ways, I think Russians look at this and it looks very familiar to them. There's a person on the political scene here for many years, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who is a nationalist and a member of the Duma, part of what the so-called official opposition, which isn't much of an opposition at all. He embodies some of these same traits, a combination of entertainer and circus entertainer and politician and scandalist all at once, and invoking a little bit of nationalism as well. I think for Russians, it's kind of, they look at Mr. Trump more as a version of Zhirinovsky, just one who's actually has a chance at the White House.
Journalist Charles Maines in Moscow, thanks for telling us all about this.
Thank you.
By the way, you can find all our coverage of the Democratic National Convention over at PRI.org. It's been pretty wild so far, and it's only day one. Visual documentation also over at PRI.org.